from Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made.
It is a little hard to tell now, since you've met us and our three kids, but the summer of 2007 could have been the end of the Ben and Cindy story forever. It almost was the end. You see, after dating happily in the fishbowl that is a seminary community, we spent the summer of 2007 on opposite sides of the country. Ben was working crazy hours out in California, directing residential life for what we affectionately call Nerd Camp. And I was back in New Jersey taking Greek and caring for an aging yellow lab named Lady. It was hard to get our schedules to align in ways that made communication easy. It was next to impossible to make new memories together. It was, since I am telling the story, all Ben's fault. We all laugh, but I really felt like that. In reality, it was just the distance taking its toll. The lack of connection was wearing us down. It became more and more difficult to remember who we were, both who we were as individuals and who we were, what being together was like, what it meant to us. And so we started to turn away from one another. And it could have easily been the end of the story. But then things pivoted. Pretty dramatically, in fact. It started with an email, and I don't remember what he said. I truly have no idea what he wrote to me in this email. But I do remember very clearly that I was mad. I mean, mad. And something in me changed. I stopped trying to say all the right things. I stopped trying to pretend like this was all okay. I stopped trying to make sure everything was phrased perfectly so that I could be understood clearly. And I just raged. I told him off. Then I hit send, walked out of the apartment I was staying in, and went to dinner with my friends. And it could have easily been the end of the story. Believe it or not, he is laughing a lot, so you probably believe it. Ben loves this story. Because from his perspective, he gets this email. An email that I sent in rage, that I sent meaning to be pointed and potentially painful. Ben gets it, he reads it, and he smiles. He rereads it, And he laughs a little to himself. Not because any of it is funny, but because in his telling, this is the moment that he starts to remember. The moment that he remembered, he loves my fiery side. Even when it's directed at him, apparently. It's the moment where we both remembered who we were. We remembered that underneath all that distance and disconnection, there was fire and grace and space to be ourselves. We remembered that each of us were individuals who were both amazing and flawed and fiery and complicated, just as we were, and all on our own. But we were also a we, and that we could create something together that made space for all that complicated individuality while also being in relationship. Our scripture reading this morning begins with the words, "but now," which signal a significant pivot both in the tone of the prophet and also in the relationship between God and Israel. If you remember with me, way back to Isaiah 6, the prophet is told to preach, but that the people will not hear. The prophet is told to teach, but they will not understand. Their eyes will not see. Not even when all of Israel is laid to waste, desolated so much that nothing in the land remains. And that is what happened. Israel is laid to waste by Babylon, and the prophet says that it is because they have turned away from God. They have forgotten who they are, forgotten that they are a we, that God created with them, that God covenants with them. There has been disconnection and distance where once there was relationship, partnership, and redemption. The relationship is strained and straining further. The people forget who they are. They forget who God is. They forget who they are together. They forget what they might create together as a we. And so hear these words in Isaiah 42, starting in verse 18 and going to what we read today. Listen, you that are deaf, and you that are blind, look up and see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf like my messenger whom I send? Who is blind like my dedicated one, or blind like the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but he does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to magnify his teaching and make it glorious. But this people is robbed and plundered. All of them are trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They have become prey with no one to rescue, a spoil with no one to say, restore. But who among you will give heed to this? Who will attend and listen for the time to come? Who gave up Jacob to the spoiler and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned, in whose ways they would not walk and in whose law they would not obey? And so he poured upon him the heat of his anger and the fury of war. It set him on fire all around, but he did not understand. It burned him, but he did not take heart. But now, says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. But now, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. But now, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Did you hear that shift? You, O Israel, have been blind. You have not seen. Even when you walked through the fire, even when Babylon came in and laid waste to your land, you did not understand. And that could have easily been the end of the story. That place of desolation, that place of fear, that place of disconnect could have easily been the end of the story. That place where they don't even know who they are because they are no longer a we with the God who created them. But now, says the Lord, now things are changing. Now we will remember who we are. It feels a little bit like God is reintroducing himself to the people. He's kind of saying, remember me? I'm the one who created you, who formed you. Do you remember us? God seems to say, let me remind you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We are connected. Despite the distance, despite the separation, it is in our nature to be in relationship. God says, you are precious. You are precious in my sight. You are honored. And I love you. And this is not the end of the story. This is not where the relationship will stop. We are pivoting into something new. We are remembering who we are. So do not be afraid. You have walked through fire and desolation, but now do not be afraid, for I will be with you. The rivers have swarmed around you, but now do not be afraid, for I am walking through them with you. God reintroduces himself, reminds everyone who they are together, commands them not to be afraid, and then makes a promise to the people. The command to not fear does not come with a promise that there is nothing to be afraid of. The waters still rage. The fires still burn. The original hearers and today's hearers, we do not need to look far to see that there are very real things of which to be afraid. But the promise of God, the revelation of God, is that we are not alone. We are not alone. We are in relationship, and the story of that relationship is not done. God has been a God of creation. God has created this people, created Israel, and is creating them still. This is who God is. God is in relationship with God's people, continually creating that relationship. And God is doing it out of profound love, even when it seems like the end of the story. Even when it looks like the raging fire, the conquering armies, the rushing waters, the swarming injustice, the darkness of death and fear have won. Even when that's what it looks like, God is creating anew. God is remembering who we are in relationship and saying, but now. It fascinates me that in this text, God's dramatic pivot does not come because of anything the people do. They have not cried out for God to redeem them or crawled on their knees in repentance. There is no indication that the people of Israel have done anything to change. They are the same people they were before the exile. They are God's people. And God continues to create their story and their relationship, not because of who they are, but because of who God is. God loves them. God calls them precious in his sight. It is in his nature. It's who God is. God is a God in relationship. And the people of God are people in ongoing relationship. The story is not finished. Your story is not yet finished. I do not know the particular fears that make fresh beginnings seem unlikely to you. Perhaps the instability of work or finances, or of our national ethos at this point in time. Maybe the bleakness comes in cynicism. It's easier to intellectualize our way out of hope than it is to pivot back into relationship sometimes. And that can be true, just as true in our relationships with one another as it is in our relationship with the divine. Maybe it is the reality of death, yours or someone you love's, that fills you so completely with fear that you cannot see any way through. I don't know. There is plenty to be afraid of. Plenty to create disconnection and desolation with God and with those around us, with the institutions that we have held dear, with our families. There is no shortage of pain and suffering and ending. So I do not know where you need to hear words that pivot your story. I don't know what in your life needs a "but now" moment. I don't know where you need to remember, where you need a reassurance. Do not be afraid. You will pass through the fire, and you will not be alone. I do not know what in your life needs a fresh start, a new beginning, but I wonder if we can hear these words for us. I wonder if we can remember who we are. Remember that we are God's people, that we are a people in relationship. I wonder if we can remember who God is. I am the one who created you, who made you my people, says the Lord. I love you. You are precious to me. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be afraid. This story is still being written. Do not be afraid. Amen.
But now, there's a conversation that happens in Isaiah just a few chapters after our reading from this morning. It's a conversation between the prophet and God. It starts out with the prophet calling out to God on behalf of the people who are broken in exile, asking God to wake up, reminding God who God is, who God is supposed to be. God stirs and responds with a call then to the people, reminding them who they are and calling on them to rise up in return. It sounds something like this.
Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to cross over?
I am he who comforts you. Why then are you afraid of mere mortals? You fear continually all day long, but I say, fear not. For I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. Get up. Get up. Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. You have drunk to the dregs the bowl of staggering. But now I say, awake. Awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter Zion.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So depart, depart, go forth. The Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard.